were in it because our kids deserved it. We were in it to empower others. We had to show the world that our kids belong here. And that was our goal. That was what we needed to do. And like I said, you know, Gigi's gets the individual with Down syndrome ready for the world, but we needed to get the world ready for them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Crazy Good Turns, the podcast that recognizes and celebrates people who do amazing things for others. I'm your host, Frank Blake. Before I introduce our guest today, I'd like to ask for 5 seconds of your time. Not right now. I don't need it right now. I want you to save it for the moment where you find yourself face to face with anyone who has Down syndrome or any other intellectual or developmental disability. I'm asking this because, as you'll hear from our guest, Adrian Mulligan, today, sometimes that is what her daughter, Sarah Kate, needed most, for people to allow for just 5 seconds so the girl could express herself or answer their questions. Sarah Kate has Down syndrome. So does Gigi Gianni, the daughter of our other guest today, Nancy Gianni. Nancy is the founder of Gigi's Playhouse, a nonprofit network offering free educational, therapeutic, and other programs for individuals with Down syndrome, as well as support for their families. Gigi's Playhouse mission statement is simple: to see a world where individuals with Down syndrome are accepted and embraced in their families, schools, and communities. Today, there are more than 450,000 people living with Down syndrome in the United States alone. And with their parents and siblings, that's well over 2 million people impacted. This month, we will mark World Down Syndrome Day on March 21st. The date, 321, represents the third copy of the 21st chromosome, which those with Down syndrome have. I suspect that as you listen to this show, you'll learn some things. I am absolutely sure you'll find Nancy and Adrian to be fascinating people with crazy good hearts. Nancy, as I said, is the founder of Gigi's Playhouse. By the numbers alone, the Playhouse is impressive. Starting from a single storefront in Nancy's hometown in Chicago, the organization today offers services at over 50 locations in the United States and Mexico. Our other guest, Adrian, is the founder of the Gigi's Playhouse chapter in Atlanta. Between their in-person sites and their programming online, Gigi's serves more than 25,000 families each year. But as you'll hear today, it's not just about the numbers. Gigi's Playhouse is remarkable for the unique and empowering way it provides its services. And also, as you'll hear today, Nancy and Adrian are two women who not only rose to the challenge, they rose above it. Bringing a new child into this world, that is always demanding. Welcoming a child with Down syndrome has its own unique challenges, as Nancy and Adrian will share. Nobody would have blamed them for taking on fewer activities, but instead they set out to launch something to help others who faced these same challenges. And so, now, on to the discussion with Nancy and Adrian, and also hang on to those 5 seconds and be ready to give them to anyone who needs them. So I'd like to start, Nancy. I'll just start out by asking you to tell us a little bit about Gigi and your family.
So Gigi is now 20. We started the first location right when she turned one. She is amazing. She's a public speaker. She works out every single day. She works hard, play hard, just like her mama. And she sets goals. She accomplishes her goals. She has a boyfriend. She's in school. She is a sibling. She has 3 siblings. I have 3 girls and 1 boy, and she's the youngest. And she definitely takes advantage of all of that and has learned all the good, the bad, and the ugly from them, which I love about her. She is a very, you know, I think that people sometimes put our kids in a box of, they're just so sweet. You could do anything to them. Well, this is a sweet, sassy girl who has goals and, you know, there's that wants to be just like everybody else. And she deserves to be like everybody else, and she deserves to be accepted like everybody else.
So, Nancy, you referenced that within a year, you started the first Gigi's Playhouse. Give our listeners a little bit of the background to that, because just thinking about all of the activity involved, and you have an existing family with three kids, that might not be the first thing that would pop into someone's head.
Well, you know, there was so much negativity surrounding the diagnosis when she was born, you know, coming in. And I remember the doctor said, wow, you guys really shook this place up this weekend. You know, if something like this can happen to you and Paul, you know, it could happen to any of us. And I'm like, something like what? You know, this diagnosis, like, it, they really made me feel less than. They made me feel like she was less than. And they made me, and I remember thinking, like, I'm a really positive person and they are taking me down. How am I going to go home?
Wow.
Tell my kids, you know, that this is our new life. This is where we're going to be.
So everybody was around with long faces.
Oh my gosh.
How are you going to deal with this?
They were, I mean, there was condolences instead of congratulations. Yes.
Condolences.
And I can't tell you, I think I had every clergyman come into my room to pray with me. And praying is so personal and it's so emotional. And every time I kept thinking, is she dying? Like, are we mourning this perfect life? And why isn't her life good enough? Why isn't she being celebrated like my other kids were being celebrated? And it was really took getting her home and just getting out of that environment. I mean, they took good care of me medically, but they, you know, they didn't have eye contact with me anymore. I was now that mom and that family. And I felt that. And I was so afraid for my other kids and what that was going to feel like for them, because I was having such a hard time being that person and knowing, you know, kind of, you know, the fear of the unknown. I don't know where this life is going to be and what's it going to do to my other kids. And getting her home and watching my other kids embrace her like the beautiful sibling that she was, and then seeing she can do everything that they can do, it just took longer for her. You know, some of these things would take her longer, but with help and intervention, she was going to do everything she needed to do. And it was when she was still really young, I realized, you know what, we have to add some positive energy. We need a place to celebrate this diagnosis. We have to show the world the incredible beauty and potential of these kids in order for them to ever have a place in this world. If they're going to continue to be not celebrated, I mean, the termination rate of individuals with Down syndrome is over 80%. In some countries, they're trying to eradicate Down syndrome. So when you hear that diagnosis and know that everybody else chooses to not have this in their life and to get rid of that, it really gives our kids a bad rap and it gives the siblings a bad rap. It's hard on everybody when people don't think our kids belong. So I went to my first support group meeting and my brother Joe was like, don't go, don't go. You are the most positive person in the world. Do not go to this meeting. I'm like, Joe, I don't even know anything about this diagnosis. I have to go. And I went and it was in an extra room in a hospital. We were pushed in a corner, but you know what? The content of the meeting was good. It was the environment that brought people down. And I'm like, what if we can have a place where we celebrate these kids with this diagnosis. And that's when I started saying, I want it in a strip mall. I don't want, you know, if we keep them in the church basement, it implies that's where they belong in the church basement. You know what I mean? We need to put them out there. We need to be in a place where they can open up dialogue to the typical population. So kids can walk by and like see these kids with Down syndrome larger than life on the windows and kind of go, oh, wow, I don't see that in my school because they're kept separate in school. I don't see them in places. And open up dialogue, talk to mom and dad, walk in the doors and walk into just this. I mean, the playhouses, they're like Disneyland. When you walk in there, you feel nothing but empowerment and energy, and you know you can accomplish your goals. And that's what I wanted for Gigi. So I put it out there. I was like, I have to do it by October was Down Syndrome Acceptance Month. And Gigi was a few months old. And I said, we're going to do it. And I, you know, I didn't know who was going to be at my opening. Like I knew my mom would show up and some of my neighbors, like I knew I'd have like a couple of my friends, but we had over 1,000 people show up for that opening.
Wow.
At that strip mall, you know, there's this little strip mall taken by storm, you know, by people,
wow.
You know, my baby was a baby. I didn't know that many people. And think about this, Frank, we're talking 2003. So there wasn't internet. There wasn't, you know, I mean, there was internet, but there wasn't like it is today.
Right. It wasn't the
communication forums and the forums that there are today. Yep. So it was really word of mouth, getting it out there and making it happen. And then it just grew from there.
So before we get to the growth stage, because I'd love to talk about that too, because 57, mm-hmm. I mean, that's an amazing, that's got to be an amazing story, but just pause for a second, because I see as you're talking, Adrian nodding her head. And I'm wondering, is the experience the same? Was it a similar path, a different path? Describe your and your family's situation, Adrian.
So just like one of our mottos goes, we're the same but different. You know, every family is the same but different, and every child born with Down syndrome is the same but different. So we had, I would call it a similar reaction. We were surprised by the diagnosis at birth, and I honestly had no clue. It was a tiny little inkling in my brain. You know, I'm 39. There's some other, you know, certain measurements in utero were slightly different from my two boys, who were 4 and 5 years old.
So you had as with Nancy, you had children already, and
yeah, and I was angered in the hospital for a few reasons. And I don't get angry very easily. I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky, pretty jolly person. Like, it takes a lot for me to kind of, you know, turn the worm and feel really feisty about something. And I felt really feisty because Sarah Kate was born. And again, the long faces, you know, everybody's walking in, very sad. And I was looking at this beautiful creature. And I could swear I could see a halo around her head. I mean, she had jaundice, so maybe it was that. But but I swear it was my own halo around her head. So I fell in love with her the second I laid eyes on her. And I said, she's got Down syndrome. And I had had a cesarean, so she was kind of brought dramatically over a screen. And everybody laughed, including the surgeon, and said, no, she doesn't. She's beautiful. And I kept saying, no, she's beautiful. And she has Down syndrome. And it took me 8 hours to convince them to even send for the pediatrician to do the testing. Wow. My beloved in-laws, who I absolutely adore, were present. And my husband was present. And they just kept, you know, the SWAT. That's silly. And so eventually, obviously, we got the diagnosis. And I remember just clutching her even closer to me. And everybody else's heads went down, that unfortunately I was right in my prediction. And then I'm sitting there looking at this absolute beauty of a creature, and they started handing me all these pamphlets, and none of them said trisomy 21. They all said kind of eating problems for children with XYZ disorder. A lot of kids with autism start out life and they have this problem with, you know, focus and blah, 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 blah. And I kept saying, none of these pamphlets have anything to do with my child. An eating problem? Look at her. She was going to town. Like, she was getting exactly the answers she needed. This is within hours. So I kept kind of looking at Paul and saying, Paul, like, where's the sheet? I was never a very good student. So I always relied on the kind of cheat sheets and cliff notes. And I'm like, where are my cliff notes and where are the cheat sheets? And there wasn't one. The rest
taking
is
that as a cue, I want to switch back for a second to Nancy. I'm still back at the 1,000 people showing up at the first Gigi's Playhouse. And what that experience was the first. At what point are you through your first playhouse and say, gosh, this is really meeting a need. This is working.
I remember telling my husband, well, we can't charge for anything that we do. He was like, what kind of business model is that? I'm like,
that's just what I was thinking.
Well, it is one that I can't tell you how many countless consultants had told me wouldn't work. Over and over and over, I could not find the believers that this would work. And 20 years later, I'm very proud to be saying that we have a $22 million not-for-profit organization that is run predominantly by 99% by volunteers, and they are making it happen in their communities. It's bringing in people like an Adrian in Atlanta. You know, when people come to us and they want to open a playhouse, they are the feet on the streets. They are the volunteers. They gather their community to come together to do just what I did in Chicago. And so they do that.
Describe for our listeners a bit what happens in a playhouse.
Because magic.
Okay. All right. But what happens? What goes on during the day?
So the average age to have a child with Down syndrome is 28. We have very young parents, first-time parents, a lot of single mothers who aren't prepared for this. No one's prepared for the diagnosis. I can tell you that. You're never prepared for that diagnosis. But they walk into a place where everybody believes in them. Everyone believes in their children, where their siblings are going to make lifelong friends, where they're, it's, we don't just serve the individual with Down syndrome. We serve the entire family. And we actually serve the community because we give the community a place to come in and volunteer. They in turn learn about love and acceptance, and they spread our mission of global acceptance. So it's really a center for the entire community. We serve individuals with Down syndrome, but we give the community a place to serve. And that's huge, that, and a place to grow. Because when you do that, that, you know, they walk out of there, they don't only serve individuals with Down syndrome, they want to serve the world. They want to make the world a better place because they see what happens in there.
So now yours, Gigi Playhouse, is set up. You've been running for a couple of years. And then do you say, gee, I think we ought to put up another one somewhere else in Illinois? Or does someone call you, knock on your door and say, hey, I saw this. How does this work?
Yes, we have never solicited an opening. People or community, they come to us because we can't, you know, I can't assign somebody there to take on a task of serving your community with free programs and funding it all. You know what I mean? Somebody has to come to me with that investment in their heart and knowing the people and gathering the right people. So the model would never work if we were picking and choosing where we go. We go where there's a community leader like Adrian, or, you know, anywhere, you know, like Adrian, who then steps up in their community, rallies the forces, finds the place, raises the money. The third phase of becoming a Gigi's Playhouse, when somebody comes to us, there's that first phase where they come and we kind of, you know, we have a formula. Do you warrant a brick and mortar playhouse? Should you use our Gigi's at Home, our virtual platform? What does that look like? And then phase two is getting in there, rallying your community, building your board, getting people invested. And phase three is then where they become their own individual LLC. So at that point, they have access to all of our intellectual property, all of our curriculum, all of our templates, everything that we have from the marketing brand materials, every the single brand thing that they need.
So Adrian, what prompts you to get on a plane and go out to Chicago?
So there was kind of a nudge in my back from the folks who equally believe in our kids at Emory. And I had started the foundation for simply an informational push on early intervention. And we have an app now, and we're on that kind of campaign, very much on the sideline. But our whole foundation's purpose is to direct people to Gigi's. And that's what this crowd did for me at Emory University. And I figured if they're directing me, they know what they're talking about. Their whole lives revolve around the study and research of Down syndrome. So I got on the plane, I suckered two friends to come with me, and we walked into Hoffman Estates, and
at this point, how many Gigi's Playhouses are there at this point?
There were five at that time.
Just five?
Yeah.
Five.
They were all in kind of the Chicagoland area. So I'm really proud of the fact, and Nancy's going to laugh because she, what was the name of the machine you had to type out invitations on back in the day?
Oh, that I was, because I had never really used any software at that. I mean, we're talking 2003, so Doug, remember that. At 2005, but
bring us down memory lane.
Reading spiritual expressions, like that was the only software package. I didn't know what Microsoft Office was. Like, I didn't know anything.
It didn't exist.
I created all of our marketing materials on American Greetings Create a Card software.
So back down to Atlanta, right? So one thing that caught my eye when I was reading about the way they can help other families was they described it back then as, who does it take? It takes a motivated group of parents to start. And I was thinking, okay, I've started. I've met Nancy. I'm in. I've drank the juice. And I thought, okay, this is going to be difficult. But back then it was really difficult because there was just skeleton everything. And them trying to focus on the thriving of their five playhouses. And I think we were the first ones outside of Chicagoland, and we were these wild pack of cowboys down in Atlanta. So there was a lot of kind of waiting for Gigi's approval in Chicago, which we've nicknamed Inc. But it was worth it. It was frustrating at the time. And it started out with me sitting at my computer in the kitchen.
You guys helped build the model. You know, each new location that opened, we learn from to this day at number 57. But you think about number 6, we learned a lot from opening a location that was 700 miles away from, you know, our national office where it was. So we've grown with each location. We learn our fifth core value is locally concerned, enterprise minded, meaning that you always learn, you know, anything that we learn, whether it's at Inc. or at a location, we share with everybody. So it's never, you know, we don't want people reinventing the wheel. So whatever, you know, whatever they were able to put into play, we want to replicate it at every location that's out there.
And Adrian, how long before you said your Atlanta version was up and running and you felt comfortable that it was?
It took about 9 months later. What we did was Sarah-Kate was about, I think, 8 months old, 7 months old.
And she had two other boys at home while she's doing this, mind you. And she was running up her own foundation.
My husband was traveling 75% of the time. We were supposed to move with him. Atlanta was supposed to be a pit stop. But we fell in love with it, going, oh, please, God, bring us a reason why we can stay in Atlanta. And sure enough, Little Miss is like, surprise. Yeah. And the Emery-Down Syndrome Clinic was there. And we thought, OK, God or whatever you believe in is really talking to us and we need to stay. So my wonderful, wonderful husband and father of our kids said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to commute. He was commuting to India and to China and South America and it was really hard, but every Friday he would come back and he was like Superman. He was like, come on. Okay. I'm in. You know, everybody where he was dealing with was asleep. So he was all in, and where I was kind of falling apart on Friday afternoons, he would rally us all, get to the park. We'd run the legs off of Sarah-Kate and the boys and, you know, so it was definitely hard, but well worth it.
So Nancy, at this point, first question, how do you handle 57 locations? But second question, are there more requests coming in?
All the time. Yeah. So we have, and now, you know, our Gigi's at Home, our virtual playhouse that we've obviously had to create due to COVID was something. We were serving our families with, you know, free programs all week long, and then we canceled everything. You know, COVID took everything down. So 4,400 hours a week of free programming, 4,400 hours a week of free programming was happening network-wide the day that we had to shut down because of COVID. So we had no choice but to open, you know, create a virtual platform, which we did, I'm going to say, in 13 days before anybody else was out and doing things. Schools weren't even starting and we were hitting it. We were like, but that was, you know, that's our COVID silver lining, because we are now serving families in 83 countries with our free programs. So isn't that crazy, Frank? I mean, it's a gift. That was our COVID silver lining, a gift from God. And it's also, we've also been a very high tech, very entrepreneurial, not-for-profit all along. We've had to be able to work remotely for years because our locations are all across the country. So we had that, you know, that up to, you know, where most not-for-profits aren't probably as tech savvy as we were. You know, we were building an LMS. We were building an app. We knew what we needed if we were going to continue to grow at the rate that we were. I mean, we were growing at 35% a year. We were going to have a way to train all these volunteers, hundreds of thousands of volunteers. We can't leave that on the local playhouses to be doing all that. So we've been using technology. We've been using everything we can, thank you, God, that have allowed us to continue to grow and give our playhouses what we need. It's really crazy how we can scale now. Like when I think back, Adrian, to like, when I look at the stuff that like that you had, I mean, girl, you were like on your own trying to figure, you know, I had to have a brochure. You know, we didn't have much back then. And when I look at where we are now and the tenacity of you and every other founder who just go, you know, we were in it because our kids deserved it. We were in it to empower others. We had to show the world that our kids belong here. And that was our goal. That was what we needed to do. And like I said, you know, Gigi's gets the individual with Down syndrome ready for the world, but we needed to get the world ready for them. And that's still what we need to continue to do to this day, yeah, because we're not there. We are not at all close to where we need to be. When you look at DEI and where we're at, people with disabilities are still being left behind, even though they are the largest marginalized group. The other ones get so much more attention because our kids aren't out there fighting for themselves. They're just fighting to get by in every day.
Yeah.
So if there was one thing that you wish people understood about those living with Down syndrome, what would that be? Pose that question to both of you. Nancy, what would that be?
Oh, for me, it would be, I mean, that they people would understand that there's so much more than a diagnosis. You know, see past what you see on their face and get to know the person that's under them. The reason Gigi's is what it is today is because we have the gift of exposing people to the most incredible population of people in the world, and they change people. The reason we continue to grow and do what we do is because when people get exposed to amazing individuals that give so selflessly, that are there to teach us in this world, they grow. Every volunteer who walks in, they walk out and empowered and better. They realize that, you know what, God didn't give these kids the muscles that he gave to me. I have all the tools. These kids have to teach their lives to teach their bodies to do what comes naturally to all of us. And you know how they do it? They work hard every day. They do it with a smile, and they serve others. And that's what I want people to know. They change lives by people just giving them a chance to meet them.
And here's what I'd like them to know. You know, I always look at the five senses. If one of them goes down, what happens? The rest of your senses really become focused and heightened. And we know that Down syndrome particularly affects the midbrain. And so we know what happens in the midbrain, and that's the processing. That's the delay. That's the, what's your name? And I always like hold my breath for people to just give my daughter that 5 seconds. Yeah, just give me a minute. Because they go like this, what's your name? Is it Jill? Is your name Sue? And I just want to throttle them and go, could she just have a second? Now, my daughter's now very articulate now, you know, many years later. But I would like for people to know that they're in there and they are just like us. People go, oh, I hear that they get a little boy crazy in their teens. And I'm like, teens get boy and girl crazy in their teens. What are you talking about? Or their little boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't get that. I want my daughter to have a boyfriend like Gigi does. I want her to have a partner, a companion, a husband, whatever suits her and her life goals. But they're in there, and back on my early intervention bandwagon, with just a little bit of extra help and push and love along the way in the early years, they can have a normal and independent life. They can. They can have a career. They can have a sense of belonging in the community, in their jobs, with each other, largely due to Gigi's Playhouse.
This is terrific. And what you both do is so inspiring. All the folks associated with Gigi's Playhouse and your work, Adrian. Is there someone you turn to for inspiration? Again, a question I'd ask both of you.
Our daughters.
Good answer.
That's a great answer.
That is they, you know how that is. They inspire us. We're so blessed to have that gift to inspire us every day and to make us better every single day. I do have another, because I had heard your podcast and I know the different questions. And I do, you know, I'm so blessed that when you think about differences and some people, you know, they'll listen to this and say, oh, well, you know, I don't really have somebody with Down syndrome in my life. But what I want people to know is everyone in this world, we are all seconds away from being different or loving someone who's different. So it could be the birth of a new baby, a grandbaby, a fall off of a bike, a debilitating illness, diagnosis. Differences don't discriminate, and they are seconds away. And for me, it's people who step up who don't have those differences in their life, like my one of my biggest donors who gives because he wants the world to be a better place. So people who recognize that, you know what, hardship may not have hit me or a difference may not have hit me, but I'm gonna step in and help people that has it, because I'm grateful for the life that I have today. So when you'd ask that question, I think of my donor, Vince Foglia, who's just a philanthropist. He's an incredible businessman and someone who never had Down syndrome or any, you know, developmental disability or anything in his life, who still chooses to step up and help our kids. Cause it's hard to get that. It's hard from, I can't get it from corporate America. Like you would think after 20 years, I would have, you know, that, especially in this DEI time, that stuff would be so much easier. So it's not. People don't recognize our kids the way they should be. They're not hiring our kids the way that they should be. We don't have the place that we have for our kids. So I would say I'm inspired by people who see everybody as deserving and everybody as equal.
And I'll add to that by saying, on a similar vein, when I'm feeling a little flattened and stretched thin, I look forward to the next board meeting. The volunteers, they just fill my heart. I become buoyant. You cannot walk into a Gigi's Playhouse and leave the same person. Not the first time, not the 100th time. There's something hilarious. There's something emotional every single time you walk in the door.
Every single time.
Every single time. Someone's cracking you up and then someone's, you know, got a heartfelt moment. So I think, Nancy, you're right. People that have no connection that are directing their donations to us, it's so insanely flattering. And the volunteers who very often, Nancy, you said this in the very beginning, they come in and they thank us. Thank you so much. Wow. Like they cry.
That's great.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. You just think, what? Like, thank
you. We can't do it without you, right?
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So I think you may have already answered this question, but phrase the inspiration in a different way. Who has done a crazy good turn for you? You are.
I get to go first.
All right, Adrian, that's great. You're in a world where you're doing crazy good turns for others. Who has done a crazy good turn for you? Adrian.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to historical data, and this is going to sound corny because I love her like a sister, but Nancy Gianni.
That's sweet. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's a hard one to follow.
Right?
Who's done a crazy good turn for you? And that's a wonderful answer, Adrian. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was an amazing answer, and you are a gift from God, and you know that. And I do feel like, I think that when I think about these founders, these people that are in their own communities, raising their own kids and want to change the world, not just for their child, but for their entire community, I would say the crazy good turns would be these founders in these communities that step up every single day to serve our families with free programs, to give our kids a name in this world, to give them respect and acceptance and show that they belong. I literally, like, every time I go to a new opening, and Sacramento was our most recent opening, and I literally sit there and I'm in awe of these volunteers who have given up their lives to open this place, to serve individuals with Down syndrome, to give them free tutoring and literacy and math, free speech therapy, free fitness programs, free career programs. They're doing the impossible. And those, the crazy good turns, I have so much gratitude. I don't even know how I will ever be able to possibly ever thank not only the people that step up and founded those locations, but all these volunteers who keep it going. It wouldn't work without them.
So I have two last questions. One is just sort of a peculiar one of my own curiosity. So we're coming up in a little while to World Down Syndrome Day, which is celebrated on March 21st. So it's 3/21 to mark three copies of the 21st chromosome. And is there something that Gigi's Playhouse does or that you all do as a special recognition?
Absolutely.
All right, Adrian, what is?
Yeah. Well, so from a local level, I think this goes on across the board in our 83 countries. But for starters, that's when we choose to do our spring run, our fun run. And
yeah,
this fun run
acceptance challenge. Yeah. Yep.
Yes. And it started out as a fun run. Now it's the fit acceptance. But that, you know, talk about bringing a community together. So the volunteers are there, like, it's such a celebration of fitness, of health, of can do. We have the kids all have their own little road race. And that is just the sweetest thing. And so that's how we celebrate in Atlanta. And then we'll always come up with a local event, like, you know, after the run or the fitness acceptance challenge. There's always little parties and celebrations, but I'm sure Nancy's got bigger and broader.
Well, no, exactly what she said. The GG Fit Acceptance Challenge kicks off on 3/21. So the GG Fit Acceptance Challenge, are, like she said, in Atlanta, it's a fun run. In Chicago, it's a 5K run. At every different GG's location, they kick off an acceptance challenge where they challenge their community to step up for acceptance. It's a social and physical movement for acceptance. And it's amazing. And so on that 3/21, that's our kickoff of our 3-month-long 60-event campaign. And it's truly a gift from God. It started during COVID, and it's something that we need to continue doing. We need to raise that awareness. But also on that day, the locations, most of them have some form of open house or something inviting their community in. And if it falls during the week, they might do it on the weekend. But the biggest gift we can get is for someone just to come in and have a tour. Come in and see what it's about. Bring your kids, let them ask the questions. It's okay. There's no question that it will insult us because you are there for the right reasons. They need to be able to ask. Kids, you know, when I see people's face sometimes, when they look at Gigi and I see they look scared, I'm like, oh, because they just haven't had the gift of exposure to individuals with Down syndrome. So we would love at 3/21 for people to just go to your local Gigi's. Figure something out, join an acceptance challenge. Even if you're going to do it virtually, there's something that could be done on 3/21 for, and in the Down syndrome world, you know, whether it's you make a donation, you step in to volunteer, or you join the GG Fit Acceptance Challenge, or you bring your kid for a tour, that, you know, anything that just brings some awareness to our amazing kids.
I better quickly correct myself or clarify that before the board kills me, we started as a fun run, and now we're very much an official qualifier race of 5K and 10K.
Yes, so, you are. You guys have a great run in Atlanta. Right. You guys are doing great in Atlanta.
Okay, good, good. That's terrific. So for everybody who's listening and they want to know more about what you all are doing or to help, what would you direct them?
GGSpails.org. Just go to the website. You can see what we're all about. Everything is on there.
All the locations, tap into one close to you. There's even a very, very handy map for anybody who's listening. There's a very handy map to see geographically where are emerging markets. That's that group of motivated parents, carers, community members. And it's a great way for you to kind of feel overwhelmed to go, God, I don't know if I can take this on. I can't get to carpool on time. I can't, you know, how am I going to open a center? You might go, oh, 10 miles away, there's another. I can drive the 10 minutes instead of trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel or duplicate the wheel in my community. But we do a really good job. Nancy, you know, it really congratulate our IT people. Like, they do a really good job of updating. It's not easy because there's constantly, how many requests do we get in a week? Like 100 or something. There's just constantly. Nonstop.
Oh, constant. Yeah. There, it just never ends. And I'm so grateful for that because, you know, so much has happened in this world. Things are different now. And thank God we were able to pivot in the right way and grow during those times. Financially, we still went down a bit, but family-wise, we kept growing. Program-wise, we kept growing. So we're still playing a little bit of catch up, but we're growing in every other way.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for being willing to appear on this podcast. And more important, thank you for what you do every single day. Because it is a great thing you're doing, not only for the children and families directly impacted, but as you said so well before, it's for all of us, and it's important for all of us. So thank you. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, too.
Getting the word out there is the most important thing that we can do for our kids, and if we're going to change the world, it's going to take each and every one of us. So thank you so much.
If you'd like to hear more about this topic, I recommend going back and checking out our episode from season 2 with Amy Wright of Biddy and Bo's Cafe. Amy is the mother of 2 children with Down syndrome. With the coffee shop named after those children, she's created job opportunities for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities across the country. You can find the episode by going to crazygoodturns.org and searching Biddy and Bo's. That's BITTY and BEAUS, Biddy and Bo's. I think you'll like that show a lot. I also want to give a call out to Ken's Crew, a program founded by Ken Langone that gives job opportunities in Home Depots and other retailers across the country for people with developmental disabilities. just an extraordinary program that I saw up close and what a difference it makes. As always, I want to thank the team that makes Crazy Good Turns possible. Our producers, Brian Sabin and Megan Hanlon, editing and mixing by Score, and Leslie Nunn for keeping this operation moving forward. Thank you to all of them for the hard work that they put into making this program what it is. Lastly, I want to express my gratitude to you, our listeners, for being part of a community that celebrates people who do good things for others. Your giving of your time to listen to these interviews and acknowledge these good deeds is a crazy good turn of its own. Thank you. Thank you very much. We hope to see you again soon in our next episode when we celebrate another crazy good turn.